Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for gifts, for ministry and blessings." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on open door. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that opens, and no man shutteth, and shuts, and no man opens. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." The word door in Strong's is number 2374. It's a primary word meaning door or portal or entrance, the opening or the closure, literally or figuratively, a door or a gate. God is no respecter of persons. God can keep a door open for all those who have not denied His name in a trial or difficulty. You have to be prepared, available and willing to step through the door He prepares for your life personally. God includes those who are weak or wounded and those still learning important lessons of faith on the narrow way. By grace, you get more time to repent, change, and meet the conditions needed to walk through the door He sets before you. God loves you and wants you fully prepared for what is ahead. Jesus told in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him." Verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11. "Give us today our daily bread." Verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15. "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The word for hallow in Strong's is number 37. It comes from another word which means to make holy, that is ceremonially purify or consecrate mentally, to venerate, hallow or be holy. Jesus hallowed His Father's name above His own by denying Himself completely. His name should be mentally venerated, not just verbally spoken. By using your mind to make decisions, you are denying His right to be Lord of your own life. Instant obedience shows that you hallow His name. The Father knows what you need before you pray, so you don't need to think about your own needs. Pray only for the food you need each day and His perfect will to be done. in a first world country, this applies too. If you do fall into sin, it's not because God's power is lacking. If he has to deliver you from evil with great power, when you get in a mess, that is a testimony that you are not prepared or ready for the next level. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 13 to verse 25. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. Verse 14. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Verse 17. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. Verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. Verse 19. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household and for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. Verse 24. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Be like a virtuous woman. Do not go shopping unless God says to do so. Timing is important. Only God's perfect will is the best outcome for everyone. The virtuous woman is controlled and directed by God herself and knows how to walk through a door he is keeping open for her. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. This is Ephesians chapter 5 and reading verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for what he provides at specific times of the day. If you're going to many places to buy the same item, make sure you do not have an agenda. After all, God fed his own people in a wilderness for 40 years. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 10. This is in Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Verse 3. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. In one of his sermons, Charles Finney said, By all means, keep clear of the idea, both in theory and practice, that a minister is to promote revivals alone. Many people are inclined to take a passive attitude on this subject and feel as if they had nothing to do. They have employed a minister and paid him to feed them with instruction and comfort. Now they have nothing to do but to sit and swallow the food he gives. They are to pay his salary and attend on his preaching, and they think that is doing a great deal. and he on his part is expected to preach good and sound, comfortable doctrine, to bolster them up and make them feel comfortable, so they expect to go to heaven. I tell you, they will go to hell if this is their religion. This is not the way to heaven. God is using the darkness increasing in the last days to separate the wise and the foolish virgins in the body of Christ. Those who trust in him with all their heart make no excuses for the sake of their flesh and use godly wisdom in trials and difficulties. The foolish ones are not doers of the word and have only a small amount of godly wisdom because they're carnally minded. They rely on the wisdom others have gained in books and ministries, but they are not on the narrow way themselves. They do not know how to study the word of truth and avoid conviction and correction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words which means unapproved, that is, rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, a castaway, rejected, or reprobate. Know your own self, where you are spiritually. You should be living by faith, not by sight, since you are born again. Do not use your freedom in Christ to do what you want when you want on this earth, as you will become worthless, literally or morally. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, reading verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there a few that be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. You now have access to the best teacher every minute of the day or night. The Holy Spirit is the trainer and teacher on the narrow way. You become part of the body of Christ by following him through the Spirit. Doors will shut in the face of those who are not willing to pay the price to follow Christ. They will experience shame and embarrassment. If this happens, it is only because your priorities are wrong. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 to 19. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who only have immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You have to lay hold on the gift of eternal life to pursue eternal things. Timothy had been given a rich spiritual inheritance with the testimonies of Paul, but was losing his grip on eternal life. If you're not asking God everything, you are losing the fight of faith. It is much harder for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven anyway. So you should be particularly careful to submit to God and to someone on the narrow way too. Otherwise, through the deceitfulness of sin, they will experience many sorrows seeking earthly gain. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You cannot live on the narrow way without the grace of God daily. There is grace where you are now, but no grace to stay where you are. If you become proud, God will resist you because he loves you. When you follow sound teaching, you will end up looking like a well-disciplined, first-class soldier in a regular army following Christ. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? The word castaway in Strong's is number 2210. It comes from another word which means to injure, that is, reflectively or passively, to experience detriment. Be a castaway, receive damage, loss, or suffer loss. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7 on Count the Cost, on pages 82 and 83, Joseph Edgecott writes, if you do not love God more than anything or anyone, including yourself, you are not totally surrendered to him. Your heart must be yielded in every area. When you make decisions instead of asking God what to do, you neither deny yourself nor take up your cross to follow Jesus Christ. You are in sin, whether you admit it or not. It is not enough to deny yourself in areas of obvious rebellion, sins of commission. You must repent of the deceptions that lead you to believe you are right when you're actually wrong. You must also repent of your sins of omission when you fail to obey truths in the Bible. And what the Lord speaks to you directly, you are guilty of the sin of omission. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God. Saying a correctly worded prayer will not prevent you from becoming a castaway. You need to be following Christ at the end of your life. This is either when Jesus comes or when you die, whichever comes first. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and reading verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6. but godliness with contentment is great gain. Those with godliness and contentment are not rushing to get what foolish virgins have gained through some limited earthly wisdom. They are content at a lower standard of living, seeking godliness first. False doctrines are in those born again in humble circumstances and who forsake the truth for the desires of the flesh. They utter perverseness for the sake of material blessings they have gained through devilish means. Keep well away from them, or you will become like them. Paul also wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4, on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on page 69, Joseph Hedgecott writes, at salvation, you had the first opportunity to walk as a spiritual person as opposed to a natural person. You began by moving into the Spirit through repentance. But you have to learn how to stay and grow up in the Spirit. These principles can be learned while you're still a baby, because being able to live in the Spirit has nothing to do with works or maturity. God wants you to remain in fellowship with Him from the moment you are saved. It is part of the package of salvation that was given by grace through faith. Grace and faith enable you to move into the Spirit, and they will keep you in the Spirit as you grow up. Now that you've made Jesus Lord of your life, your priorities should have changed. Your priority is to abide. A job or career doesn't mean anything compared to knowing Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. This is in Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. The word yoke fellow in Strong's is number 805. It comes from another word which means to be co-yoked. That is figuratively as a noun, a colleague. Probably rather as a proper name, a Christian or yoke fellow. Those yoked to Jesus have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Someone yoked to Christ is a Christian. They are betrothed to Christ, Christ-like, following Christ, and have the fruits of Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, this is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The Lamb's Book of Life is the best book to be in. Your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You are made clean by the blood of Jesus, and God has made it easy for you to keep your clothes spotless. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. He is in control. As a child of God, everything you need is in Christ. He will provide for you on the narrow way, but not on the broad way. On the broad way, you are Lord of your own life, the author and finisher of your own misdirected faith. You do what you want, when you want, and the devil will keep you comfortable serving the lust of the flesh, but he cannot prevent you reaping destruction. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God, and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which thou wert summoned, and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses." To seek all the things Paul mentioned, you need to get on the narrow way. If you pray for patience, God will send some trials and difficulties. In between the trials and difficulties, work on the lessons you learned so you do not make the same mistake twice under pressure. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is in the book of Romans chapter 13, and reading verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Verse 13. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Verse 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." God is in control. You do not need to go to Bible school to learn eternal lessons of faith. God will provide the fiery trials you need wherever you are to overcome. You will have to deny yourself consistently. The devil is now on a leash so you can learn. Those using the armor of light, learn the right lessons of faith in the light. When you close the doors where you still believe lies and repent, you will be able to put on Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3, and reading verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Verse 8. "Yea, doubtless I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Verse 10. "That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Verse 11, "if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul had put on Christ and had lost many things in the process. Have you changed your priorities since salvation? You should be seeking a righteousness by faith and be prepared to let go of anything and everything that the Lord says you do not need to follow Christ. You will always get something better now or in eternity. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Verse 13. "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Verse 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Verse 15. "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 5, on Work Out Your Salvation, on page 86, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you use your notebook from Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, effectively, you will be set free from sin, satanic traps, and hindrances every day. This is the very definition of working out your salvation daily. If you do not allow God to save you from the devil's traps on a regular basis, you're not obeying Philippians 2:12. Use the peace of God to confirm that you're still on the narrow path, doing His perfect will. Do not rely on natural discernment, or you will end up on a way that seems right. If the Spirit grieves, you are about to sin against God. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Everyone with a testimony of overcoming sin and temptation themselves is providing light for others to follow. The narrow way leads to life, but many do not believe. It's not popular, and it's often not taught today as a result. We read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, and reading verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. If Jesus is Lord of your life, your heart will be soft and not hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Keep a record of your sins that manifest through the lust of the flesh. Each sin that God has revealed through conviction under pressure should be written at the top of a single A4 page. Below on the same page, then list any revelation and conviction you receive to overcome and get to the root of sin. Put a date in the margin each time to monitor your own progress, and do not deceive yourself. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 13, this is John 16, I'm reading verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit can tell you what is about to happen. You cannot use the excuse you didn't know someone was going to change their plans if you're a disciple of Christ. Those who are spiritual are ready for the unexpected. Do not blame anyone else for your own disobedience. Those claiming ignorance will endure unnecessary suffering. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews chapter 6, I'm starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permit. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 6, 1-3 says, "Let us stop going over the same ground again and again, always teaching those first lessons about Christ. Let us go on instead to other things and become mature in our understanding, as strong Christians ought to be. Surely we don't need to speak further about the foolishness of trying to be saved by doing good, or about the necessity of faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptism and spiritual gifts and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. The Lord willing, we will go on now to other things." If you are overcoming sin and have repented of dead works with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're ready for what's coming. Doors will close if you have only repented of bad works. A dead work is any work God never told you to do to start with. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. "And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The broad way is full of baby Christians, too proud to become like a little child and enter the kingdom of heaven now. Carnal Christians want the kingdom of God to provide for their physical needs. They are childish. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and reading verse 10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Verse 11. "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what a clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yet what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Those who blame someone else for their disobedience are shallow. Clear yourself with God's help now. Going through the process of deep repentance, you will gain, number one, a fresh fear of God. Number two, a vehement desire for truth. Number three, a holy indignation at sin. And number four, a fresh determination to put things right with God. Anything that is not of faith is sin. With the promises of God, you can overcome the world by faith on the narrow way and not sin. Those on the narrow way get the resources they need doing the will of God in the kingdom of God because they are humble. We read in the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, I'm reading verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Verse 3. "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness." Mankind was not created to be independent from God. Iniquity is departing from the truth. Jesus is the truth, manifested in the flesh. So you just follow him. Sin can be at the thought level. At the fruit level, sin becomes iniquity. This includes the sin of commission as well as the sin of omission. Your iniquities are responsible for, number one, causing hurt and damage to innocent lives. Number two, your fingers getting into issues that are not your own business. Number three, speaking and believing lies for the sake of your own flesh. Number four, saying things contrary to the truth. and murmuring against God. Make no excuses. Confess your sin, and the Holy Spirit will teach, convict, and comfort you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Repentance is a work of the Holy Spirit, and you will also be comforted mourning over the fact that you stop following Christ at any point. If you want to love God with all your might, it is possible now. It's not a matter of thinking or using your carnal mind. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." The law given to Moses was written on stony tablets, but in the New Testament, through the Spirit, each person has his own list of commands in complicated situations. Let him write his laws on your hearts and minds, and he will give you the grace to obey. After he does this, he will remember your iniquities and sins no more. David wrote in the Psalms, chapter 40 and verse 12. This is in the book of Psalms, chapter 40. I'm reading verse 12. "For innumerable evils have encompassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. For they are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart fails me." Those doing what they want, when they want, are heading for destruction. Conviction is there to alert you to individualize, you believe, causing you to depart from his grace and truth on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." God's promises are for those on the narrow way, with a heart after God. To get in the flesh, you first have to reject his provision for the sake of something temporal. If the promises of God work consistently for those serving two masters, then many more would end up in hell. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Those on the narrow way rely on God to know consistently what to do next. They learn lessons living in the light. They realize that they have everything they need in the package of salvation. Jesus said it is finished on the cross. And those who do not study the word of truth are lazy and do not like conviction. Some conveniently believe that what Jesus taught those disciples is no longer relevant today. They think it's outdated because they prefer to believe lies and enjoy the comforts of this world. They make exceptions all the time to what Jesus taught. Time is running out for everyone who adjusts the teachings of Jesus to fit a comfortable lifestyle. Instead, fear God and adjust your lifestyle to fit the teachings of Jesus Christ. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, 2016 reprint version, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, on God Sees in Fullness, on pages 160 to 162, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Because God is just and holy, whatever he does is righteous and fair. It is impossible for him to be otherwise. We do not understand this when we judge him from our natural minds. I began to understand this principle between the time I was born again, when I became a spiritual toddler. Often, when the Holy Spirit revealed truths in God's word, they did not make sense to my natural mind. In the early years, I wondered why the Holy Spirit convicted me about things I had not done yet. Remember that conviction is being convinced something's wrong. For example, if I had negative thoughts about someone because of something they did to me, the Holy Spirit would convict me about my thoughts, even though I had not done anything wrong outwardly. At first, that did not seem fair. As an example of this principle, let me share this parable. Suppose when I was on a trip to your country in the past, someone treated me badly. At the time, I did not react, but on returning home, I began thinking about the incident. The more I thought about it, the angrier I became. Then, sometime later, I went back to your country again, to the same town where the incident happened. I decided that I would go to the person's home, knock on the door, and when it opened, I would punch the guy in the nose. At what point did the Holy Spirit convict me? When I punched him in the nose, or when I decided to punch him? You know, the Spirit convicted me when I purposed in my heart to sin. I thought this could not be fair because I had not punched him yet. I'm not sure about the laws of your country, but in our country, you cannot be convicted for what you are thinking. If that were true, everyone would be in jail. How can this be fair? It is fair because God sees in fullness. It is also because God is love. And if he convicts at the thought stage and I repent, he forgives me. Then the consequences of sin are minimal. If he does not convict me until I punch the guy in the nose, he will still forgive me if I repent, but I will probably go to jail. If this works on the negative side, it must also work on the positive side. If God sets a mark that I cannot press towards, and God sees I'm determined to hit the mark in a lawful way by acknowledging the Lord and letting him direct my steps, then he looks at the fullness of my decision. He judges that I have hit the mark. This is a vitally important principle. In the early years, I wanted to spend quality time in God's presence, and I knew sin would separate me from him. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life, in thought, in purpose, or action. Sin at the thought level will not separate you from God if you take thoughts captive. If you're planning to sin, you will get a grieving. If you stop and repent at the point of conviction, you will stay in the Spirit and save yourself from serving the flesh and reaping the consequences of more sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 21. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Verse 22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Being born again will not prevent you from being ashamed at his appearing. The wages of sin is death. Do you believe you will escape death just because you're born again? As a child of God, you can stop sinning. There is always grace and faith to obey. Sin manifests at the fruit level will cause separation from God's presence because it's based on believing lies for the sake of the flesh. His resources are for those living on the narrow way, seeking righteousness. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 11. I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Verse 7. Or who shall descend into the depth, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In the Living Bible, Romans 10:6-10 says, but the salvation that comes through faith says, you don't need to search the heavens to find Christ and bring him down to help you. And you don't need to go among the dead to bring Christ back to life again. For salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is what we preach, is already within easy reach of us. In fact, it is as near as our own hearts and mouths. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God, and with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. If you believe in your heart at a low level of pressure and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord now, the Spirit will bear witness. The same should happen at a higher level of pressure too. At higher levels, it may not be so easy for you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. In this case, the Spirit will not bear witness, but Jesus is still Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. For more information on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, please read chapter 9, The Importance of Lordship, in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Those who stop being a doer of the word in a trial and difficulty will get washed away. you will have many opportunities to trust God as this world is passing away. Do not listen to any conspiracy theories. God is going to remove all those things that make man comfortable serving the devil. This includes those who are lukewarm. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou were cold or hot. Verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, because thou says, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. You might be relieved that Jesus is speaking here to the church of Laodicea. However, God does not have two standards. The book of Revelation is a warning to every child of God. If he passed a judgment on this church, then the same applies to us all. A door is closed already if you're lukewarm. Jesus is on the other side. This is a door leading to intimacy with God. It will not open by demanding it opens in Jesus' name or saying a correctly worded prayer. God is no respecter of persons. Those who are lukewarm in their relationship with God must be zealous and repent, open this door when he knocks. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In these last days, God is knocking on the door of many hearts that have accepted him as Savior, but not accepted him as Lord. Churches with large gatherings were stopped from having any form of service during the COVID years. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. A few used the lockdown to grow spiritually and saw it as an opportunity to study at home. Some tragically lost loved ones and were broken. Others ended up in financial difficulties. Those with a comfortable, rich lifestyle were affected. God is in control. And what is happening now is for the sake of his bride. After his people are taken in the rapture, the devil will be given more liberty to do what he wants on this earth. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 30 to 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness. And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 15 And verse 34 says, "Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame." Jesus is coming. During COVID, the church woke up briefly to the signs that the mark of the beast is just around the corner, but did not wake up to righteousness. Some churches are trying to make people even more comfortable because of harder times. Ministries and preachers seeking vainglory used to keep the church spiritually dead have not been removed. Those who have a heart after God seeking truth know you have to stay humble for God's grace to continue. God wants a living sacrifice like Paul, not a sacrifice of praise. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Verse 19. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness." Verse 20. "And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." Without training, God has used men and women throughout history to do amazing acts of faith that pastors and leaders studying theology do not understand. Carnal churches using common sense and reason see hearing and obeying like a little child as unwise, too simple, wrong, or of the devil. In the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 20 says, "Stop fooling yourselves. If you count yourselves above average in intelligence as judged by this world's standards, you have better put this all aside and be a fool rather than let it hold you back from the true wisdom from above. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, as it says in the book of Job. God uses man's own brilliance to trap him. He stumbles over his own wisdom and falls." And again in the book of Psalms, we are told that the Lord knows full well how the human mind reasons and how foolish and futile it is. In the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 20 says, "Don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can be wise merely by being relevant. Be God's fool. That's the path to true wisdom. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. It's written in Scripture. He exposes the hype of the hipsters. The master sees through the smoke screens of all the know-it-alls." You might only get one chance when God sends a preacher of righteousness to repent of using your mind to make decisions. If your priorities are all wrong, you will not hear the knocking sound when the messenger comes with a message of repentance. We read in the Psalms 46, verses 8 to 11. This is in the book of Psalms, chapter 46. I'm reading verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made in the earth." Verse 9. "He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cuts the spear in sunder, and He burns the chariot in the fire." Verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Verse 11. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. The word refuge in Strong's is number 4869. It comes from another word meaning properly a cliff or often a lofty or inaccessible place. Abstractly, altitude, figuratively, a refuge. Misgab, a place in Moab, a defense, a high fort, a tower, a refuge. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 8 on First Love, on pages 110 to 111, Jojo Hedgecock writes, "In the hectic world we live in, we are comfortable being busy and doing as much as possible in an allotted amount of time. Carrying this mentality into your relationship with God will only cause frustration. You must practice being still before Him. It may take a few minutes to calm your mind, but it's well worth the effort. Ask the Lord to calm you as you bring every thought under His control. It's important to pray a covering over yourself as you come before the Lord. The devil loves to fill your mind with things you think you should be doing or other distraction to keep you from focusing your thoughts on the Lord. You must learn how to be still before God. As you practice this, you will learn how to be quiet and restful in your spirit, even when you are busy doing what the Lord told you to do. Do not try to impress God. Let Him take the initiative." What is your refuge? The Lord is a strong tower, but you have to be in Him. You can be born again, but living in the flesh. If your mind is carnal, then you will have no peace. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. This is the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Verse 8. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Man was given a capacity to understand natural things in this world with his natural mind. But without grace and truth, mankind will perish. You can be born again, but still be carnally minded. God gave man a purpose that could not be fulfilled through the flesh. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. This is Luke chapter 6. I'm reading verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Verse 47. "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show to whom he is like." Verse 48. "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 49. "But he that heareth and does not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The world is passing away, and if you are not investing in eternal foundations now, you are like the foolish builder. You should be seeking to learn from trials and difficulties of any kind. If you have learned something and repented deeply, then you pray for God to send the same trial again to make sure that you have applied what you learned the last time so that you can be faithful. We read in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 17. I'm reading verse 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful." The word "called" in Strong's is number 2822. It comes from another word which means invited, that is, appointed, or specifically a saint, a called one. The word chosen in Strong's is number 1588. It comes from another word which means selected, by implication favorite, chosen, or elect. The word faithful in Strong's is number 4103. It comes from another word which means objectively trustworthy, subjectively trustful, believing or believer, faithful or faithfully, sure or true. The Jewish nation that called Jesus Master or Lord later crucified him, proving that they were serving the devil all along for the sake of their own religious kingdom. What bad fruit has to manifest in you before you believe you are serving the devil and clinging on to this world? If you have received Jesus Christ personally, then allow him to lead in challenging circumstances to prove you have the right foundation. Time is running out. Do not listen to your own heart. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Revelation 17 and 14 says, "They will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will triumph over them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him and on his side are chosen and called, elected and loyal and faithful followers." Those who use a natural discernment are slowly being cooked like a frog in cold water. They convince themselves it's okay to serve two masters. They think they know when to jump using natural discernment, but will jump when it's too late and not be ready for his appearing. Living with the cares and concerns of this world will stop you from becoming part of God's kingdom and his army. Only those who are called, chosen, and faithful will rule and reign with him. Three things are required. Called means invited. You have an invitation to live on the narrow way using the gift of eternal life. For this reason, you receive the Holy Spirit to lead you, not just so the gifts of the Spirit can operate in your life. If you lean to your own understanding, you will come off the narrow way. If you are still making decisions with your mind, you are still Lord of your own life. Those with the confidence of flesh are never chosen. Following Christ, you have to be faithful to the conviction and correction you receive daily through the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 to 26. This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, starting in verse 24. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Verse 25. "If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Verse 26. "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Larger gatherings that experience God's presence and power through praise and worship around the world were stopped suddenly. COVID was used by God to stop shallow ministries and preachers seeking vainglory, deceiving others. The devil was not expecting this, as he wanted to create fear and panic through COVID. During the pandemic, the desires of governments around the world to promote sin and abominations of many kinds were also hindered. God is wiser than the devil with his plans to bring destruction. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Verse 11. "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Verse 15. and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Many times, Jesus dismissed the crowds or sent them away. There is a time and a place for everything. There is a time to learn and there is a time to be a doer of the word. If you want to be ready for his appearing, you have to study the word of truth yourself. You can read the scriptures, but are you led to those things that produce the most conviction? Your flesh will betray you. The word of truth will help you grow up and abide in Christ. Once the foundation is laid, you can grow easily. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15 to 19. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray, and the Father shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Keep the commands he's giving you in all situations. If something costs you more to keep his commands, then that is a blessing. It would be a greater expression of love. Those who love God have changed their priorities and lifestyle. Through the gift of eternal life, you can hear and obey and get to know God by grace through faith. No one deserves this gift, but they can get to know him by abiding in his presence. You win Christ by seeking a righteousness by faith, not following methods. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way, the broad road that leads to destruction. Looks good. It's signposted, heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. I have been speaking about an open door. This is something personal for you. God has called you to a specific task, and if you are faithful to the truth and conviction that you have received, don't give up. This is a time to look up. This is a time to get excited. This is the best time to be alive. Keep applying what he commands. He has given you those commands so that you can obey him out of love. If you do that, the doors in your life will remain open no matter what happens in this world. Make sure you love the truth. Conviction is a blessing. Father, I pray for everyone listening to this message right now. Father, I pray for them, that you will encourage them to walk in the truth that you have given them and the things that you have prepared for them to walk through by grace through faith. Father, I know you're going to keep them open for them. And you're preparing things in their hearts right now that are vitally important. And I pray for them not to be distracted and submit and learn what you want them to learn in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.